You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
Orla, come and get your ring.
We could set that up for you. Yeah.
Come and get your engagement ring.
Are you going to stick around for the rest
she's
of the show?
Come and kill you.
No, she's going to kill you, dude. That's the beauty of it.
Because you're not engaged.
Free kiss begins with Jerry.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
20-minute bike ride this morning.
Wow.
New up personal
from,
record.
I was just going to say, up from 17 and a nap on the bike. Now you're...
Blew past 17 minutes on the bike.
Wow.
Feeling it.
20
and
minutes.
I'm going to start documenting my push towards an hour on the bike.
Is that your end game, an hour? That's long. That's a bit
rich. Do you want me to do you a favor right now? Don't do an hour. Do 25 minutes of sprints, a minute on, a minute off. That's better for you.
28
than being the jackass at the gym... That's reading a magazine and pedaling like a turkey. You're not doing anything.
Like a turkey.
You're right. I'm not accomplishing.
Just do sprint. And sprints is easier because the time goes by faster. You got a minute of work, then you pick your ass for a
minute.
Dude,
that's how people have heart attacks. If you're not in shape and you start sprinting for 25 minutes.
That's like, remember you were on Tough Mudder and there was a guy with like jean shorts on and just started running.
The thing is, I was the guy who should not have been in Tough Mudder. Like, right. This is how out of touch I was with reality. When I actually went out there, and I don't think you can say I performed at Tough Mudder, but I survived at Tough Mudder.
You participated.
I participated. I thought I was in shape.
Well, you were thinner at that time, were you not?
I was like 230.
Dude. Oh, really?
I was still a moose. Like, I was well overweight. I had been working out a little bit, so I had some muscle tone.
But I thought you had dropped. Like, I thought this was after you were, when you were down to, like, 195
No. It was way before that. Like, I did Tough Mudder, like, 7 years ago now.
Wow.
So I was a bit, I was Griff.
But like,
and then I got down to kind of three-quarters Griff and did Tough Mudder.
Wow.
And then I reverted right back to Griff. And it took me years to finally lose weight and look like I'm kind of in shape.
Wow.
So I think I would actually be a lot better at Tough Mudder today than I was back then, because hauling around 6'2", 230 up and down mountains and stuff.
Yeah, it's a bit rich.
Not good, but...
I'm telling you, do sprints.
I'm not doing sprints. What am I training for?
I'm not saying Lance Armstrong sprints.
Sprints are for training, though. I'm not training for anything.
No, that's where a lot of people, dopes like yourself, you think to lose weight, you pedal at a low intensity and you're going to lose weight. You're not going to lose squat.
I'm not trying to lose weight.
What are you doing?
He's rehabbing.
I'm rehabbing my knee first and foremost, but secondly,
20 minute on a bike is rehabbing your knee?
Honestly, I'm getting out of the house. That's why I'm going to the gym. That's it. Like, if I lose weight, that would be great. I would like to be in shape. I don't have
an urgency.
Why don't
you go to Wegs then and bet on the ponies for an hour and then go to work instead
of
just...
I'd rather avoid that, but that's basically the option. I either go to the gym and go for a cruise on the bike or I go to the ponies and blow
inhale
through all my
cash. Smoke.
You know?
They smoke
basically
at the pony?
Saying,
I'm that guy. I got to do something with my day.
What have you
I
been doing
get out. Nothing.
Previously? You don't do anything during the day?
Well, I'm responsible for the kid in the morning.
Right.
Get her ready for school. Drop her off at daycare.
That's when the workout should come in. The minute you drop her off and you go right to the gym.
Drop off, gym, home, lunch, and then before you know it, shower, and I'm on my way
That's
in. So it kind of feels like I've accomplished something.
Do that little circle there, get the kid off or whatever, and then gym, and then start my day. I always feel like a bag of garbage if I don't get a sweat on. Like, I just feel awful.
Yeah, see,
like
I don't have that type of...
And I was so tired. It was a quick turnaround. For some reason, I got to get back into the swing of like the early travel and all that.
How was that last night? You were in Ottawa for that game, and it was a real barn burner.
Yeah, it was a bit of a snooze fest. We did our best to kind of.
Now that's a garbage hockey game.
Yeah, it was a bad hockey game. Like we were talking before we came on. Like, preseason doesn't mean anything. Guys don't get paid. But like, I'm looking at Patrick Marleau last night. This guy's got 1,550 regular season games, and he 22 years in, and he's in an exhibition game last night, and he's a pro. Like, he played well. He's a really good player. But I kept thinking, I was watching him in warm up. I'm like, what is he thinking about right now? Like, because that would be I would pay a lot of money to get into his mind to say, what is Patty Marlowe thinking right now? Because he's got a few guys that would be no chance of playing the NHL, you know, in the next couple of years on his team, passing him the puck. And you know, for the most part, I mean, his line, I thought, they got going. Like, early on.
Yeah, they had a bad first period.
The whole game was garbage. Sloppy. The whole game was
That's
sloppy.
That's what it is.
It's just...
The Freeze got to go on the panel in the intermission, and that first period... There wasn't any goals.
No.
And it was like, everyone's like, the quiz master's like, what are you going to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. What do you talk about?
Yeah, there wasn't anything. I mean,
for me, like, my takeaways last night, I thought Pär Lindholm looked like, I think he looks like he can play.
He can be a legitimate NHLer. He can skate good enough.
Yeah.
Right? He can skate well enough.
Strong on a stick, too. There were a couple plays where I thought, you know, 50-50 battle, he wasn't giving the puck up. And one was right in front of me, and I was impressed with him that way. And then there was guys like, I thought Kapanen and Janssen didn't look very good. Like, they didn't look engaged.
Well, Babcock took a shot at them.
Yeah, he did.
The game,
actually, I saw that after the game.
I think that's an important comment for him to make, that they need those two guys. He didn't give the, you're playing for jobs. He admitted they're on the team, but they got to bring something.
Got to get going.
Because Van Riemsdyk's out, Komarov's out. Like, they need to fill in on certain roles of, you know, long-time NHL players. But honestly, the only thing I really learned last night was courtesy of Pooley in the intermission, where he brought up a great point that Rasmus Sandin played last night, Timothy Liljegren played last night. They were a pairing. It sounds like they're going to be a pairing again tomorrow night against Buffalo.
Yeah.
And nobody is talking about the debut of a first-round pick. And it speaks to everything that's happened in Toronto the past two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
The mentality shift of the fan base, the media, the team, the acceptance that you don't just walk into the lineup outside of Austin Matthews. Everybody else has to pay their dues.
Yeah.
Everybody else has to come up through the system. And I thought it was a great point by Pooley, because yesterday we're teeing up the game, and Sandin is playing. I think we mentioned his name. I think we brought him up. But
it wasn't like front and center news.
Not even close. Like, I've been following this team my whole life. I've lived in Toronto my whole life for the most part. And any time they take someone in the first round, that kid is the talk of camp.
Yeah. Nick Antropov.
All the way back. Jeff Ware. You know, Drake Berehowski. It doesn't matter who it was. You know, Carlo Koliakovo.
Yes.
When that kid shows up, it's like, here's the first round pick.
All eyes are on him.
Here's the guy that's going to, you know, be the savior or be a big part of the future. Maybe he's going to make the team if he has a good camp.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing Feather on Sandin.
Well, Liljegren, the same thing.
Yes.
Both of them. Both of those guys.
And I thought they played well last night.
Yeah, they were
two
good.
Young, nice players that are, in a couple years, will have the jersey on, part of the team. That's end of story.
I think that's why Kyle Dubas hasn't gone and blown his brains out to get somebody
on
the back end.
What is the common denominator for all those teams and all those first round picks that you're talking about? The team is garbage.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're trying to cling on to something.
Yeah, it's healthy, like a positive storyline. Hey, here's a shiny new toy, an 18-year-old, Carlo Koliakovo, local guy, all of that. Like, but here you don't have to. Sandin, you're right. I thought he looked nice last night. Liljegren, I think both of them have, to me, I don't know what to call it, like an NHL brain. I think they both have, like, they're wired. You can tell that they've got smarts with the puck. You can tell they know where to be. It's just a matter of physically, are they gonna, but there's no rush to bring them along. They're not gonna, the Leafs don't have to jam either one of those guys in the lineup to sell tickets, to do anything, or to be better. Right now, they can let both of those kids grow, and 2 years from now, when they're ready to push through and be there every day, great. They just complement a team, and maybe both. I mean, Liljegren sounds like he has a chance to be a really good player.
Yeah, he had, by all accounts, a very good American Hockey League season last year as an 18-year-old, which is very rare.
Forget he's only 18 last year.
And he was a first-round pick, 17th overall. Going into last season, he was projected to be a top three or top five pick. He's got a lot of talent. He looked good to me.
Yeah.
But he's not making the team. He's going back to the Marlies. They're going to play him a ton all year.
Yeah.
The only way he's coming up is if there's catastrophic injuries or he is the best defenseman in the American Hockey League.
Right.
But for years, we talked about Detroit. Detroit was always the gold standard. And everyone said, well, rush kids up.
Yeah,
you know, they
overcook
always take their time. The reason was they were the best team in the league every single year. Now, I'm not saying the Leafs are the best team in the league, but they're one of them now, and they've built up a program where you don't rush kids up because you don't need kids right now.
Yeah.
And I think it was just one of those moments when Pooley brought it up on the panel last night where I kind of stopped and I'm like, man, this organization has gone a long way. It's taken a lot of steps in 3 or 4 years. Like, everything has shifted. The mentality of myself, using myself as a barometer, a Toronto guy, Leaf fan my whole life.
I don't think those two first-rounders, I don't think their names have even touched papers,
nothing,
articles.
Nothing. We're talking about Callie Rosen and Justin Hall and
but
Ozaganov.
Because you're focusing on the task at hand right now, and that's rounding out the NHL club. We always worry about the future in the future. And when your team is no good, that's when you look to the future and say, oh, you know what, 2 years. Like Vancouver, example. Like, I think Vancouver a couple of years from now is going to be a really good team. They've got the makings of some really good young players. That Demko kid didn't play very well last night net for Vancouver.
Well, Jesus Murphy, Jamie. They 4 breakaways in 12 minutes, I saw.
It was ugly. I agree. But they don't have to jam him into the lineup. Or they're not selling hope there. Their manager isn't coming out and saying, you know, we're a playoff team. Our owner is pushing us to be that. They're in rebuild or retool mode, and that's how they're shaping their team. Here in Toronto, that's not the case. They've gone through that. They've taken the next step. Now they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. So you're focused on, okay, who's going to make one of the best teams in the league right now? Is it Rosen? Is it Hall?
And you're going to need depth, right? Like, there are going to be guys who come in and out based on injury, based on play.
Right.
And we have a pretty good idea of about 90% of the roster, but the other 10% is going to float around a little bit.
Yep.
Crazy scene at the Bell Center last night where the Canadians were playing the Panthers. I'm sure most people are aware of it, but Max Domi and Aaron Ekblad got into it. Domi popped them with a punch. Ekblad was bleeding all over the place, and it just got announced before we came on the show. Domi's been suspended the rest of the preseason, so no regular season games.
Is there a games attached to that? Like,
I don't think you have
preseason.
I think it's just you're not playing again. I don't see why you have to put games on it. Maybe you do from technicality purposes. So maybe you place 6 preseason games.
Yeah, did they have 6 left?
Like,
I guess we just look at the schedule,
it doesn't matter. The point is, he's not suspended into the regular season.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go to the hotline for a call on this? Because we actually had a guy with a bit of a take, a bit of a comparison in terms of what could be happening with Domi in Montreal.
Sure.
And what may have happened in Toronto a while ago.
Yeah.
The phone lines are always open. We know that. 416-384-3877. Curtis from Toronto with an interesting take.
Just on that Max Domi sucker punch last night, it reminds me a lot of the Clarkson thing a couple of years ago when he jumped over the boards to join in on that line scuffle. Got suspended for 10 games, and he never got going after that. I hope that's not the case with Max Domi. I know it's a little bit of a different situation, but it smells the same where he's trying to impress the Montreal fans and his new team.
Interesting point that he makes there.
Different dynamic as far as the incidents on the ice, Brian, but I understand that's a great point by the caller because the situation is so similar. New team wanting to make an impression and your emotions get the best of you, and that's what it was. I mean, when Jamie and myself played, I would have got a text message from both of my brothers, my father, and all of my teammates would have said the same thing. What are you doing? Are you not going to protect yourself? Are you shocked that that happened? I mean, that's when you're engaged like that, that's a possibility. You could say to the guy, I don't want any part of this, but, and I understand this is 2018. This is a world, the new world, the NHL world we live in. That's not part of the game. And George Parros, I heard Pierre talking with Scotty Mack, said, my biggest mission is to take away non-type hockey plays, and that wasn't one. But as far as the punch itself goes, and I know you can't grade like the violence of punches, Like, I'm fine with sitting out the rest of the preseason. It's a favor for Max Domi. It's not going to do Max Domi any favors because he's trying to learn a new position.
It's not a favor for Domi because he's got to find his rhythm on
that
team.
No, but as far as, like, losing paychecks or anything like that.
No, exactly. And that's why it didn't leak into the regular season. I don't think it should have leaked into the regular season. It was... He connected perfectly, if you will. I mean, it was a rabbit punch, and he got him right on the nose and starts bleeding. But it wasn't like a violent swinging from the fences.
It wasn't like his father with Ulf Samuelsson.
Nowhere close to that. Nowhere close to that.
The one night that always sticks out for me, like, I see people online arguing the term sucker punch. Okay, regardless, I mean, I'll say this, and I think we'll all agree with this. If Aaron Ekblad didn't want to fight, he didn't have to fight.
And I totally agree with that, because I don't want to get punched in the face in any walk of life.
And that's,
I don't need to be. Like, it's just, no thanks.
So let's just leave that on the table. I think everyone agrees on that situation. But, like, do you remember Matt Johnson on Jeff Boogaboom?
Mm-hmm. Punched him in the back of the head.
Like, that one was, like to me, like
and
that.
Jeff Boogaboom had concussion issues.
I don't think he ever recovered. But, I mean... That, when I hear the word sucker punch, and again, it comes down to different levels. Aaron Ekblad didn't want to fight, but he was still engaged with Max Domi. Like, they were jousting, they were talking, and I think he was looking for the ref to come in here and say, hey, get rid of this guy. Like, I'm not going to fight you. And he shouldn't have to be forced to fight if he didn't want to. That's where I think Max Domi crossed the line. He gets suspended for it, and he's going to have to be a lot better in choosing his fights or choosing his battles, because Aaron Ekblad didn't want that last night. And you know what, to be honest, when you think about it, why would a veteran guys want to be fighting in preseason anyways? I see the angle, the Max Domi trying to make an impression on his new fans. He didn't play very well last night. They were losing. So you want to stir it up and show, hey, I care. You want to let Claude Julien know, I care. Hey, I'm that's kind of like that old school mentality. But Ekblad's probably saying, dude, I'm on the bus here already. Like, I
there's
get
a lot of things
here.
To unravel here. I've been thinking about this all day. I think in terms of the caller comparing it to Clarkson and Domi, I think what is important to point out is that it was at the Bell Center. Clarkson's was at the ACC. I'm not convinced Max Domi does this in Florida. I think the fact that it was at home, the crowd was in it, his dad was in attendance, he wasn't playing that well.
And he wants to make an impression.
There's a few different things that I take issue with. In terms of the way this is being discussed over the past 20 hours, this idea that because it's an exhibition game, nothing should happen on the ice. People pay for tickets, networks pay to put the game on, radio networks pay to put the game on, coaches come out and say you're fighting for jobs and we have to build up our intensity.
Right.
If you want scrimmages, don't charge people to show up in the building. I don't have an issue with a guy who's showing intensity, who doesn't like that he got hacked. It was a greasy punch. I mean, there's no... Right. It doesn't matter what era it is. 1948, 2018, it's a greasy punch. He knew Ekblad wasn't engaging and wasn't looking to fight. He knew Ekblad wasn't going to fight. Domi knew that, obviously. But if exhibition games mean you play differently or your mentality is somehow adjusted, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. Why are we playing if it's like, hey, it's an exhibition game? Secondly... It's a very sensitive topic because of Ekblad's concussion history.
Right.
But the onus is not on Max Domi to acknowledge Ekblad's history. I've noticed that come up a lot. Well, he's got concussion issues.
Yeah, so what are you supposed to do, not hit a guy?
So you don't hit the guy?
Does he wear a different color jersey?
If you're playing the game, you play the game.
It's just like what we talk about. When you put the jersey on, you're judged by your team as being 100%. You're judged by every opponent. Nobody cares about your issues.
Right. Yeah. Now, this is, again, it's a greasy punch.
Very valid point.
But don't give me Max should have understood that, so what, he can do it to another guy who doesn't have history or he's supposed to treat Ekblad differently?
Right.
I think that is something that's...
Well, that hasn't been pointed out from any, like, I haven't seen that take at all, which is, I think you're spot on, because regardless if somebody has a history or not, it's a greasy punch, and you shouldn't do it. And you're right. Ekblad shouldn't be treated differently because he does have a history.
You can't play the game that way. It's not fair to the opposition.
Right. You can't treat somebody with kid gloves. You want everyone to be respectful.
I hope he's safe. And I hope he's healthy. I'm not saying I want to see. But let's say it's a big hit. Let's say Domi lines him up and smokes him.
Yeah.
Domi's supposed to pass on that hit? Or any player supposed to pass on that hit because Aaron Ekblad has a concussion history?
Right, right.
That's not fair to the opposing players.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a old school versus new school conversation. Because in 2018, you can't do this. I understand why the league doesn't want it. The league shouldn't want it. You know, suspend him for the rest of the preseason. But I think there is a difference in perception of this play within the game compared to outside the game.
Yes.
Internally versus externally. Externally on Twitter and social media and the fans and the media, everyone's saying, Max looks awful. Ekblad, good for him. He was calling for the ref. I think within the game, there are going to be people in the Habs organization that say, you know, I kind of like what Domi did. And I think there will be people in the Panthers organization or throughout the league that will say, a guy who's 6'4", 220 allowed himself to get popped by a guy who's 5'10", 185. You can hate it all you want. You can disagree with it all you want.
Yeah.
But that is that's still a part of the hockey culture.
And I will, if you want confirmation, I know I heard that today, put it that way, from people within the game.
Whether
it's right or wrong.
Right or wrong from a society standpoint is different than right or wrong within the bubble of the game.
You're right.
I mean, pretty sure if you talk to Bobby Bugner, the head coach of the Florida Panthers, he'd say, I didn't like the punch, obviously. I thought it was dirty, but you can't. He'd probably say you can't leave yourself out there like that.
Well, and there was,
or he'd say, why didn't you just grab him? He's 5'10".
Yeah, leading up to it,
though,
fight.
Put him in a bear hug.
Yeah, give him a Phil Kessel chop.
See, I was calling the game last night, so I didn't get the live view of it, but were they jousting before?
Ekblad kind of was pushed. They were going at it, and Ekblad kind of hacked him, and then Domi went out. And Domi was trying to engage him in a fight. And Ekblad, he wasn't interested in fighting, which he doesn't have to fight.
No, he doesn't.
So you can either just skate away, or you can grab him and bear hug him or whatever. But, you know, I'm not trying to exonerate Max Domi. Like, he was the perpetrator of this. It's a greasy punch. He should have been suspended.
Yes.
You know, but in reality, the way it's going to be perceived, I think, within the game is different than what a lot of people would like to believe.
Well, there is that behind the curtain. Like I say, the old school thinking compared to the new school, and like I say, and people within the game and not in the game. But, you know, it's the league is trying to clean that up, and they should, because it's just not, optically, it's bad. It's terrible for the league, mm-hmm. because the league is getting away from that. So, you know, Max Domi's going to pay the piper. People will say, well, it's not enough because it doesn't leak into the regular season. Yeah, you can argue all you want about that. I think George Parros is trying to get it right. Domi's not a guy who's Zach Ronaldo. Doesn't have that
reputation. He's not reckless on the ice.
Yet. If you do this a couple times, you're going to have that reputation.
And you'll deserve that reputation.
You know, if this was Tom Wilson I always try and say this, so I should be, I mean, Aaron Ekblad won Rookie of the Year. He's known as one of the faces of that organization. Let's say he did that to Morgan Rielly, you know, game one of the regular season. You know, we're in here, phone lines open, 3 hours of yelling and screaming, right?
And I'm sure that's the case in Florida.
Exactly.
Of course, they're not happy. Yeah. I understand why you wouldn't be happy, and they shouldn't be happy. And I found it interesting, though, because I do feel like the game is at a crossroads here, because what they're trying to market and the impression they're trying to give off, I believe, goes against the way a lot of people within the game think. And even Roberto Luongo said postgame, said it's a gutless punch and we won't forget it. That, in old school chat, is the next time we play, something's going down.
We're having a brawl. So, we're calling a mutant up from the minors.
Exactly. And this is the problem that the game has, because I don't know. They're so conflicted with which way they want it to go.
Well, he said that, Brian, but ultimately, you know what happens the next time Montreal plays Florida? Probably nothing.
The league has called them before and say, we're watching.
We're watching. Yep. So first dumb move, you're going to get 10 games.
And because we, as fans in the media, will build it up their next meeting, and this is what happened last meeting. And, you know, it may have to be the Pat Quinn on, what was it, Pat Quinn on?
Stan Mikita,
12 years later.
13 years or something.
13 years later, he got him back. But, like, you know, you hope.
That was the best revenge. Like, when the tough guys, They would let it rest for like months.
Yeah.
And then a sleepy night in February when you're getting dummied,
yeah,
you would just see somebody just beat the living crap out of someone. It was like, what's that all about? Yeah, 2 years ago, he speared me in the nuts, and he that's what he gets.
Yeah. Like, they've been stewing and sitting on that one for a while.
Yeah, and they're just waiting. But that stuff doesn't even happen anymore.
No, that's a good thing. Like, it's not, yeah, you don't want barbaric behavior.
It was fascinating to watch, sitting on the bench watching it. Like, it wasn't pretty.
No.
People don't like it, but just to see a random guy get dummied, it was... I don't know. It was fascinating. The only way I can describe it is fascinating.
And it's a walk of life that 99.9% of people will never experience.
Sports Center down there pisses you off. You don't wait 2 months and then go down there and kick his face in.
And dummy the guy.
Yeah. It doesn't happen. Waiting by his car in the parking lot.
Right.
I was talking last night, Brady Tkachuk was playing and he was getting into it with Zaitsev. Like, that Tkachuk, I think he's wired that way. Just like Matthew and just like the old man.
Every time they put their helmet on, they just turn into a lunatic and they want to punch people.
I think they're wired that way.
Well, and also, if you take a step back, like, this, that was bad last night, but that's 2018 bad, where we have come a long way.
Yeah.
Because there's no fights in preseason anymore. There's no brawls. Like, 20 years ago, that's what it was. If a guy was trying to make the team, he was fighting three times.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath.
Three times that night.
I know.
Like, and that doesn't happen anymore.
It happened at training camp. We had this guy, Tyler Willis, at training camp in St. Louis. He fought three times in the first scrimmage. Management had to come down and say, like, stop it. Like, stop fighting.
Right. It's enough. We get it. You're trying to make the team and prove that you're a tough guy, but
like,
stop.
He got into it with, like, one of the veterans or something, and like, I think Al MacInnis had to step in and was like, all right, knock it off. We get that you want to be here.
Exactly. In about an hour, Ian O'Connor will join us, ESPN senior writer. He's got the new book out on Belichick, the making of the greatest football coach of all time. Looking forward to this. It comes out September 25th. He'll join us around 5:30. Browns favored tonight over the Jets. We'll get into some NFL talk. Get back to some hotline calls as well. We finally got a call from a guy. I'm surprised it took this long.
Really?
Let's put it that way, okay? Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Tiger is on fire. I think he came in, birdied the last two holes? He's 500.
He looks good. Like, Tiger was eagle walking up. He's jacked right now.
27-foot eagle putt.
Well, he's tied with... Ricky Fowler, 500. He's
jacked right now. He looks good.
He's back in the game, man. I need a tracker on him. Like, yeah, Perkins Diner.
You think he's just chipping away?
I think he's working his magic away from the course.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were his manager and he went into that dry spell when he was dominating, you know what he was up to, right? And I mean, obviously it was not good. He got divorced, but
Now that he's single.
Wouldn't you just say to him, get back on the routine, whatever it was.
Yeah, knock the dust off the Rolodex and start making some calls.
Imagine that ceremony, like opening up the Rolodex once again. It would be like a... like, put incense over it.
Oh, it would have to be a whole ceremony.
Yeah.
It would be a whole ceremony. It would be like one of those underground, what's that group at Yale where the...
Yeah, the Secret Society.
Secret Society, exactly. You start calling everybody in.
When we come back in, Keithy, get us like a church kind of something creepy and goofy to get that Rolodex back out.
All right, longtime NFLer Justin Forsett in 2 minutes. Home teams generally win on Thursday night. They're playing the Jets. Biggest overreaction in the NFL was that Sam Darnold is the next Dan Marino because he lit up the Detroit Lions.
What's a lock tonight?
There isn't a lock. I'm not guaranteeing that the Browns win, but I kind
of
feel good about it. Here's longtime NFL running back, Ravens sideline reporter, down in Baltimore. Here is Justin Forsett making his debut on Overdrive. What's up, Justin? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
You feeling good about the Browns tonight, or what?
Well, you know, it's mixed feelings because, you know, the Browns are in our division. I've been a longtime rival of ours. But it's hard not to try to root for these guys because they've been so bad for so long.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a pity support staff that I'm noticing throughout the NFL. Like, I saw something on the NFL Network this morning where they did some piece on, like, two Browns fans, And I felt for them because they're so optimistic. Like, they go to all the games and they're like, this is our game, man. I'm telling you.
This is it.
We're going to win tonight. And it's like, God, it's so pathetic. But when you look at the AFC North, I mean, you're down there in Baltimore. You guys look great against the Bills and then not so great the next week. What's up with this division? Because it sounds like the Steelers are imploding. The Browns, who knows what's up with them? I don't trust the Bengals, even though they're 2-0. How do you feel about the AFC North?
No, I mean, it's still the hard-nosed, physical division to be in. You know, we're going to have some teams that are going to start off slow, but usually around the end, I mean, the AFC North is usually around the top, and we have at least two or three playoff teams, so we'll see how it shakes up, but I like the position that we're in right now. We'll start finding our identity as a division here as the games keep going.
You mentioned starting off slow. I was reading something online today on ESPN. I mean, 0-2 teams, they kind of had them ranked 1-7. When you go down, you start slow in the NFL, the possibilities of climbing out of it, they're tough, aren't they? I mean, the percentages, and I mean, I know you can't really go by the percentages all the time, but a lot of these teams, like some quality teams, it's not looking good to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the Saints, I think they started off 0-2 last year. Ended up going on a little run.
The last 2 years, like, I believe they did.
Yeah, it is crazy. So it's only been like 10 teams in however long in the last few years that's ever done it, starting 0-2. So the odds are not in their favor, you know, for those teams that start off 0-2. But you gotta ignore that as a player and just try to take it one game at a time and focus on your job and just kind of let things shake out in the end.
With Justin Forsett, longtime NFL running back. So the Antonio Brown stuff was fascinating. He's talking to the media today, and he just said, we suck, and that's why I'm all rattled, because when we lose, I'm angry, but I want to be here. He wants to prove that he wants to be a Steeler. What's the reaction like in the room when a guy skips a day at the facility? He didn't show up on Monday. His agent comes out and claims that the agent himself spoke with the team. How do the teammates feel about that when Brown rolls back into the stadium?
Man, it's tough. You know, as a player, especially when you have your star player, one of the leaders of your team, not being there for something, you know, that the team is organized. And, you know, they got a lot of things going on. They got a lot of issues going on in that locker room that they're going to have to work out internally. As a long-time, you know, NFL player, you hope that they work it out. But as a Ravens fan, I hope they work it out. Later down the road and not too soon.
Yeah, after the season, exactly. Enjoy the rest of the season, man. Good luck with those Ravens down there. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Justin Forsett, former NFL running back and big Ravens fan, doing work with Ravens Radio down in Baltimore. So, Browns, Jets tonight. Browns favored. I think it's pretty close to a pick.
The Browns have a new kicker.
They do have a new kicker. Zane Gonzalez. I don't know if we'll ever hear from him again.
You got the gate. They signed a rookie kicker, Greg Joseph, on Monday to replace Zane Gonzalez.
You talk about pressure. That guy's got to come in. Because I don't see the Browns blowing the doors off New York tonight. I could see it coming down to a late field goal. Well, and you are responsible for the first win in years. Years.
By the way, dude, what's with that ESPN website? Like, I think it's a great website to read about sports and... You click on an article, and then it just is like, you got to be an elite member to read that. I'm like, are you high? I'm not doing that.
Well, that's where everything's going. You got to pay for content.
Yeah.
But there's all this other stuff, and then there's an article, you click, oh, you're not reading this.
I'm like, well, that's how they pay their reporter.
Not this guy. No guy.
You refuse to pay for content?
All of them. Myrtle, all of them. As soon as it goes white and dark, like fades out, I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. LeBron?
I pay for The Athletic.
Yeah, I support work, you know. Yeah. Support.
They've got good writers.
I don't care. Our colleagues.
I don't care.
But we had Jonas in here yesterday. I think we basically ruined his life.
How was little Jonas?
Well, we put him in a tough spot.
Did
this
you see
guy.
The zit on his forehead? It was a doozy. And it was just staring at me like a third eyeball all day.
It was on the left side of his dome, right in your vision the whole
day. I couldn't stop looking at it.
Well, I didn't think it was necessary to bring it up. We're on radio. I mean, people don't need to know that, but...
He had a heater?
It was more about
I wanted to grab both of my thumbs and go up to his forehead and just pop it.
because it was ripe.
If you did that and he didn't pop you in the face, I would have taken serious issue with that.
So you think if I tried to pop the zit on his forehead, I deserve
a... Yes, you can't touch another person, like in the work environment.
It's not assault, but you never know. Would that be assault?
No, but it's kind of like Cristiano Ronaldo. Did you see that this guy got red carded yesterday because he got tackled, he didn't like it, and he was going to do something, and he kind of tapped the guy in the head. It didn't look like anything to me, but I guess in soccer, if you touch another player, especially on the head...
So O would have got a red card if he popped the zit on Jonas's forehead.
Yes, I would think more than a red card. Because a red card for what Ronaldo did seemed a little bit harsh. But he was in, tears. He was freaking out.
Would he get walked out of the building? Oh?
I don't know.
Would HR show up and say you can't do that?
I don't know. It depends, because Jonas isn't a full-time employee, so I don't know if he has access to HR.
His wife tweeted me. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to bring up, not what was going on with the appearance of Jonas. Was more about how... He asked him about whether or not he's going to get engaged or if he popped
the
question. And
so you started hammering on Jonas?
I just said, dude, did you get engaged over the summer? Because I know he's been with his girlfriend a long time.
Yeah, but people have their own timelines. Like they,
dude,
now you
get
now
it.
You put the pressure on. He's got to go home and have a chat with
That's
her.
That's what
told
I'm saying.
Me, though. She said, I'm not into the wedding ring thing. I'm like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. And because we have a Jerry's Jewelers.
Yeah.
Every kiss begins with Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, tell Jerry to stuff it.
Really?
She wanted no part of it.
Which I love that type of attitude. I'm Team Orla.
I'm
and
fine
Jonas.
With it.
I love both of them.
Yeah, they're great couples, but we're just harassing them.
Well, like, I wasn't. It's Nelson Muntz over here.
And just, you can go with wherever. Jonas outpunted his coverage. There's no other way around
it. Yeah, he's in a good spot, Jonas.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't deserve it.
DeMar DeRozan is on Twitter all of a sudden, and you talk about a significant overreaction. Twitter's blowing up, quote-unquote, because of DeMar's tweet. We'll tell you about it next. Get back into the Leaf game last night, Max Domi v. Aaron Ekblad and the fallout. So DeMar DeRozan jumps on Twitter around 4:13 Eastern time. Tweets out, revenge is a dish best served cold. And now, apparently, we're supposed to read into that he's going to do something to the Raptors or Masai.
Why didn't you tweet that out before they teed it up against the Cleveland Cavaliers this year? Why didn't you tweet it out then?
That would have been a great revenge.
Yeah.
That's right.
Revenge against the Cavaliers. They dummied us the year before.
He could be talking about Fortnite.
That's what I'm trying to get to here.
He could be talking about anything.
This would be great for storylines, but DeMar plays in the Western Conference. He's going to play the Raptors twice.
O'Brien,
they're not meeting in the NBA Finals.
You
what
can't
revenge?
Not overreact to this because you know exactly what people think this is. I'm going to show the Raptors and blah, blah, blah. And I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking about.
What is DeMar DeRozan going to do?
As a person that was not a fan of his performance, why didn't he tweet that out before they played Cleveland? There's revenge for you, DeMar.
Yeah, it's a great point. Like, if I would have preferred a reaction based on losing as opposed to being traded.
Right.
Now, I expect emotion both ways, but you really want revenge? You should have got revenge against LeBron and the Cavs after they punked you.
Send that tweet before that series started.
Yeah, exactly.
And then perform. But you didn't.
No, he was brutal against Cleveland. He got benched against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Benched. He didn't play a second of the fourth quarter in
game
two.
It's like I talk about Jonas and Masters. Heart of a moose or heart of a...
Rat.
A rat.
That's right.
Apparently
we're
going to
get those pigeons in here, too, for trivia, aren't we?
Yeah, they stole our bit, I guess. Because they must have been doing, at one of their podcast nights or something like that, they did trivia, I guess.
Get your own material.
Against who? Who did they play?
Well, Jonas said it was him and Masters, and they lost. Again, like, they're brutal. Masters never wins.
Like, for nerds, too.
He talks a big game like he's some trivia master. He's terrible.
You remember when he's like, bad news, Jonas, or what do you say? I sank your battleship.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it all got started.
Well,
was him chirping Jonas that led to a challenge, and then...
Bad news, Masters. I sank your battleship. Because, they were out at the bar.
Right. Well, they weren't at the bar. They were playing trivia, and everyone else was at the bar Nashville and New York and L.A. And back into the Leafs, back into Max Domi, and Ian O'Connor will join us. New book out on Belichick. That's coming up at 5:30.